Today's program is brought to you by Forever Cheese, masters of the Mediterranean. For more information, visit forevercheese.com.
I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfs in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. My weekly cleaning advice column, Ask a Clean Person, appears on Esquire.com, and I would love it if you would send your cleaning questions to JolieKerr@gmail.com. My guest today is the Sweet Homes, Casey Johnston. Hi, Casey.
Hi,
welcome
Julie.
Back.
Thank you.
Casey is the lead editor of The Wire Cutter and The Sweet Home. Prior to that, Casey went to engineering school for applied physics and worked as a tech journalist at Ars Technica. She has written for The All, Matter, Hazlitt, and Vice. Listeners may remember her from the episode in which we discussed the Sweet Homes guides to the best laundry detergent and the best personal lubricant, the latter of which was just published, just at the end of January.
Yes.
Can you tell us what the winner was?
Oh my God. Actually, I'm sorry.
You're forgetting the name.
I actually did not edit that guide.
No, Cesar did, who was with us last time.
Yes. But I do know that we have a bunch of our lube picks. We have a handful of picks, as we do with condoms. I'm actually editing our condoms guide, and that is nearly done. But one of the things we did that we're doing for both of these guides is making little packets that you can get samples of all of our picks and try them.
Oh, that's genius.
And figure out which ones you like best. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
What a great idea. You guys just, you always are coming up with some new interesting thing to do.
I'm just
consistently so impressed by the business over at the Sweet Home and the Wire Cutter. And also, I just love you guys. I mean, you guys make my jobs easier because it's like when I need a product to recommend, I'm like, well, let's see what the Sweet Home
we love what
says.
We do.
Yeah, yeah, you do. And I love what I do. So it's nice. And it's nice that we all get to work together in our little way. So here today, we are going to be talking about one of Casey's pet interests. Casey is a makeup gal. And so I asked her if she would join me for this episode because I just wrote a column for Racked that will run on Friday as part of my regular Out Damn Spot column that I do every other week for Racked on makeup expiration. It was actually one that my editor requested. She was like, can you please do something about when makeup expires? Because I feel like it's something we all get wrong. And I said, sure, I'd be more than happy to do that. And because I'm me, I couldn't just leave it at that. So I tacked on a whole thing about how to do a makeup purge if you sort of aren't familiar with expiration dates and or your makeup collection has gotten just totally out of control. How to go about sort of sorting through all your makeup, figuring out what to keep because you're using it or it's new enough, what to get rid of because you're not using it or because it's expired, so on and so forth. So I'm going to talk about the expiration dates. I'm going to talk about how to do the makeup purge. I'm hoping that Casey will have a few things to add to the makeup purge and organizing ideas too, since she's such a makeup gal. And then in the second segment, we are going to talk about makeup stains. This was actually one of Casey's requests. If we have time, I doubt we will. We'll also talk about how to clean makeup brushes. Since I don't think we're going to have time, I'm going to just tell Casey to come on back and we'll do a whole show about cleaning tools like hairbrushes, makeup brushes, flat irons, all that good stuff. Because you should clean those things from time to time. They do get pretty gross. Okay, so let's start by talking about our makeup expiration dates. And a pretty easy, I sort of have like a 5-step method for cleaning out and tidying a makeup stash. All right, so we're going to just run through the dates. Probably in listening to this, there will be a few that stand out for you, but you're unlikely to remember all of them. That's part of the reason that I mentioned that I did that Racked column, because you can always go back to it and have all the dates. So this is going to go, like, fast. And some of these are going to be horrifying to you They're horrifying to me.
Gasps.
Yeah, and they're horrifying to me. And I think Casey and I are going to talk a little bit about sort of the difference between what's recommended and what's reality, mm-hmm. and some tips for living in reality safely.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay. So here we're going to start with eye makeup because eye makeup is the big one. This is the one that's going to hurt, guys. Mm-hmm. Ready for this? Mascara. 2 to 4 months. Oh,
yep.
Oh, oh my God. Liz, her jaw just dropped in the engineering booth. Oh my God. I know, it's terrible.
So sad.
So here's the thing. I want to talk to Casey about this one because she's actually said some things to me in the past about the reality of this. And I also want to mention that the Sweet Homes guide to mascara was one of the first makeup guides you did, I think.
Yeah, it was actually I think the first we started working on. Not sure it was the first we published, but we were working on it for a year.
Yeah,
it's not straight year, but
yeah, it's incredibly thorough. Mm-hmm. It's very, very cool. Do you want to tell us what your pick was?
Our main pick is the Buxom Lash Waterproof.
Okay.
That is a fairly expensive tube. I want to say it's like $19.
It's about $20.
$20-ish.
Yeah.
And then we have a handful of other picks, but that's our...
Right. So Liz was telling us when Casey came in, when we were saying our greetings before the show, she was like, I bought the Sweet Homes recommendation for the mascara. And I was like, oh, the Buxom. Yeah, I know. Because I've read the guide. Mm-hmm. So I was very, very proud. So here's the thing. And I want to mention that one in particular because it's $20.
Mm-hmm.
If you are disposing of, let's split the difference and we'll say 3 months, right? So we got 2 to 4 months on it. If you are using 4 tubes of mascara a year, that's $80 on mascara a year. Mm-hmm. That seems crazy to
that's
me.
A lot. Yeah.
And yet, the reason that mascara has such a short shelf life is because of the nature of how it's applied and to what it is applied. So mm-hmm. your eyes, all of the eye makeup, so as you're hearing all the rest of the expiration dates, you're going to notice a huge difference between the eye makeups and everything else that you use. That's because our eyes are such a wild and weird organ, mm-hmm. and they're so germy. It's actually a thing when you have a cold or if you're sort of like prone to chronic colds. If you're a person who touches your eyes frequently, you should think about curbing that. It's a very difficult habit to curb. I know I was scolded many years ago by an eye doctor for eye rubbing. And
I'm also a big eye rubber.
It's yeah. Like, oh, I wear contacts and my eyes are always dry and yeah. But after that scolding, I've learned to just at least be conscious of it and try to, if I notice myself rubbing my eyes, especially rubbing very, very hard to stop myself, mm-hmm. to pay attention to that. So
wearing eye makeup actually helps, I find, because I don't want to mess it up. Like I used to just like smear it everywhere when I was rubbing my eyes, but if I have it on, it like keeps me from
it keeps you away from
them.
It. I actually have noticed that I've started wearing more eye makeup in the past year or so. I've never wore eyeshadow or anything like mm-hmm. that. I started wearing eyeshadow. Now, of course, I'm obsessed with eyeshadow palettes, which I'm going to talk about. It's my personal struggle. And yeah, I do notice that like I'm much more aware of touching my eyes because I like go to rub it and I can feel the eyeshadow. I'm like, oh, I don't want to smear.
Right. Exactly.
So anyway, there you go. There's one good way. Be vain and you won't smear your eye makeup. Okay. So here, the thing about the way that mascara works that makes it so dastardly when it comes to the germ stuff is it's the pumping action. That's very dirty. It's the pumping action of when you dip the wand into the container and sort of pump a few times to get the mascara on the wand. And then you put it on your lashes, which of course are, you know, germy and eye gunky and so on and so forth. And then you put it back in and you pump more. And that pumping it will exacerbate the appearance of bacteria. I learned this from a makeup artist who like had to explain this to me when I was horrified when she told me to throw away a mascara after 3 months of use. I have never and will never use an entire tube of mascara in 3 months. Let's like get real here. No one will.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe like a real housewife.
Yeah.
Or a Kardashian.
It, like, every day.
If you're
multiple
wearing
coats,
like
it's a lot.
Do you... This is an incredibly dumb question. Do you put mascara on false lashes, right?
I don't think you have to, but it helps, like, kind of...
Isn't that why they look
your
spidery?
Own lashes to the... Okay. Yeah, like, it All helps right. everything kind of
anyway.
Mesh.
Clearly, I'm not a makeup girl. You'll learn this. I wear it, but mm-hmm. but I'm not, like, a... I'm a cleaning girl.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the deal with mascara. One thing that Casey did mention to me, I asked her about this last time that she was here. I don't think I asked you on air. But it's really stuck with me that I was like, Casey, like, do you really have to get rid of your makeup or your mascara every 3 months? And she was like, well, it kind of depends on how frequently you use it.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to put that in there as a caveat that, like, I work from home, so I don't always wear mascara every single day.
Same.
If I'm running out for just, you know, like in my yoga pants, but I want to not go out without makeup, I'll use the Maybelline, that old drugstore mm-hmm. staple that everybody loves. Like, I have that as kind of like my go-to every day.
Right.
For, you know, and then I use my, and then that means that I use my expensive ones less, so I can make them last longer.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of the problem with using them so frequently, like the pumping is really, like, I find that them drying out is a bigger problem than anything, than running out or whatever. And obviously okay. they get gross, but like the less you are pumping, the longer in theory it will last. But yeah, if you can like work in a cheaper mascara, we do have a couple of picks, like the L'Oreal Voluminous is our top sort of like budget
drugstore
pick.
Yeah.
And also the CoverGirl Clump Crusher, which is like a green fat tube. That's okay. the one that I have and that I use all the time.
All right. I also really like that mm-hmm. name.
Yes.
Clump Crusher.
I had better luck
like
with
a
my
wrestling
first
name.
Yeah. I mean, why not?
Yeah. Okay. So that's the painful mascara thing. The rest of them are a little less painful. So let's run through them pretty quickly. Liquid eyeliner, 3 to 4 months. Again, same basic theory as the mascara problem. You're pumping. It's liquid. It's going on your eyes. Eyeliner pencil. This is a good one. You'll like this one. 3 to 24 months. Now, here's where you're like, what? That's crazy. That's a crazy big timeline. Yeah, so it is a crazy big timeline. And here's why it is that way. You can make your eye pencils last a lot longer if you regularly sharpen them.
Yes.
Right? They're going to be just less gunky because you're getting...
Right.
You're removing a top layer.
Yeah, you're taking off the gross stuff that's grown.
On the short end, I think this is probably common sense to most people, but I think very, very, very well worth saying anyway, is that if you have any kind of eye infection, dump it. Dump your eye makeup. You don't need to dump your brushes and stuff like that. We'll talk about how to clean those, I think. Maybe not at super length, but we'll talk about that. But yeah, you got to dump anything that you've been using on your eyes if you have an eye infection. Mm-hmm. It's very sad.
Yeah.
It's very sad when that happens. Okay, cream eyeshadow, 3 to 12 months. Powdered eyeshadow, 3 to 24 months. Same thing with cream and powder eyeshadow. You can extend the lifespan of those if you clean your tools regularly. So if you clean your brushes and so on regularly, it's going to keep the pots of makeup from building up a lot of bacteria and gunk and nasty stuff that you don't want. So especially with your eye stuff. I know I'm like a broken record with this. But
I mean,
true.
I feel
like the eye stuff is the
We should
one.
Say that like eye makeup does have chemicals in it that help it prevent it from growing
mm-hmm.
this stuff. This is just sort of like after the what's in there, like, you know, parabens.
Yeah.
Parabens, as much as people are scared of them, they shouldn't be. They're like good. They're what help keep bacteria from growing in your makeup. So that's like as long as sort of the parabens last before they become overcome and the bacteria is like getting all up in there. So
okay.
I just want to put in a plug
no,
for
that's
parabens.
Great. It's very interesting to learn all this too. That obviously the makeup manufacturers know this.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the one hand, they have an interest in you throwing your makeup out sooner rather than later. But on the other hand, they want to make a good product for you.
Right.
So
I mean, this is just why makeup doesn't become instantly disgusting because of preservatives.
Right. Yeah. And we should also say there are other factors that probably aren't going to really be avoided that add to the development of bacteria. Most people, most women keep their makeup in the bathroom.
Right.
Well, the bathroom is moist and it's, you know,
the
warm,
toilet is in there
and the toilet's in there. And so there's a lot of environmental stuff going on, generally speaking, in the places where we keep our makeup. That's also going to lend to the development of bacteria. Okay, so let's move on to things that are a little less grim. Let's start with cheek color, because I'm a blush girl. I love blush. Like, I'm gonna be one of those old ladies who just has like the like streaks of rouge on. I'm already there. Like, I just like love blush. So powder blush, 18 to 24 months. So that's, you know, 2 years. Like, you're probably gonna not be using your blush maybe that much longer than 2 years. 2 years is a long time.
That is a long
you might,
time.
But yeah. You know. Cream blush, 12 to 24 months. I think you guys are probably getting the impression now, you know, powders are going to be more stable than creams. Creams are going to be more stable than liquids.
Right.
foundations and concealers, powder, foundation and concealer, you know, powder compact, so on, 18 to 24 months. Cream, foundation and concealer, 12 to 24 months. One thing to mention about cream concealer, a lot of times they come in those little pots and you apply them with your fingers. If you wash your hands before you do that, you are going to extend the life of your potted concealer greatly. Mm-hmm. This is true of any kind of makeup that you're using, that you're applying with your fingers. Your hands are very dirty. Taking 20 seconds to wash them will make them very clean.
Yep.
And that will extend the lifespan of your makeup. So that's very good. Liquid foundation and concealer. I don't know that anyone uses liquid foundation anymore. Maybe they do. Maybe I guess BB creams and those.
Oh, they definitely do.
Fall under liquid.
Yeah, like
liquid.
I think of those Makeup as Forever is a liquid one. I'm
oh, okay.
Sure.
I guess there's I think of them as so 80s like.
I mean, the 80s are kind of back, I guess.
The 80s are totally
like,
back.
If you watch any like makeup tutorials online, they're all like, oh my God, my Moofy. This is Makeup Forever Moofy.
I know, like, which I like kind of love because I remember all that stuff. I was like, I was too young for makeup in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I hit high school in 1990. So yeah, I mean, middle school, but that was, I was hitting the end of the 80s. So I missed a lot of that fun stuff.
But that
I did crimp my hair. I did crimp my hair. Oh, yes, I did. This girl had a crimper. Or as we call it in Boston, a crimpa. Okay, so liquid foundation, 6 to 12 months. Again, that's that liquid. Last but certainly not least, and this is the best news of them all, is your lip color. So gloss and lipstick, 6 to 24 months. Again, that's really going to depend like a huge amount on how they're applied. Glosses that have the tip that you squeeze the gloss onto and put directly on your lip, or that have the wand, you know, anything that's like a little pumpy or that your lip's constantly getting on is going to be germier than like a lipstick, which you can wipe off.
Right.
And then the best news of all is your lip liner is way back. And I don't know how great I feel about that one. But lip liner is way back in style. That is going to last you for 2+ years. Again, just like pencil eyeliner, the more you sharpen the lip liner, the better off you're going to be.
Right.
But there you go. So those are your basics of expiration dates. This is probably a good time for us to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about how my little 5-step process of doing a makeup purge. And we'll talk about some makeup staining. I think we're definitely not going to have time for the brushes, but that's okay because we'll just bring Casey back and we'll do a whole other girl, another girly Yay. Episode, and it'll be really fun. So Casey and I will be back in just a second with more makeup cleanup tips. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Today's program was brought to you by Forever Cheese, masters of the Mediterranean. Forever Cheese prides themselves on being amongst the few that work directly with all of their producers. Forever Cheese created a brand, Mitica, meaning mythic. This brand is meant to unify many of their products over the various countries and provide a recognizable name that consumers can equate with trust and quality. Forever Cheese is very socially conscious, and they donate and participate with City Harvest and numerous other charities. Forever Cheese has been supporting Carbon Fund since 2007 to support the projects of reforestation, hydroelectric power, and wind energy. For more information, visit forevercheese.com.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr, and my guest today is Casey Johnston from The Sweet Home. We have been talking about makeup. So after delivering that terrible news to you about your eye makeup, sorry about that. Hey, listen, if you need a new mascara or a new eyeliner, there are guides to that on The Sweet Home, so you can go look for that.
We've tried, how many mascaras did we try? Something like 50 mascaras.
That's crazy.
And the same number of eyeliner that we tested to find. And that's like after considering everything that the internet had to offer. We narrowed it down to test just those.
That is amazing.
We picked, I think, five-ish of each. So,
God.
Yeah.
You have such a great obsessive job.
It was intense, but
And then I did look up some of the other beauty guides. There's a tweezer guide, an eyelash curler guide.
There is. We're actually working on an update to the eyelash curlers one right now.
Okay.
We're also working on a hair dryer's guide.
Woo!
Yes, that one was It was sort of a white whale for my editors. But we have this great writer, Shannon Palace, who like knocked it out.
That's
in
awesome.
A few months, it's incredible, and our pick is so good. It's like it's $30 to $50 depending on where you get it, but it's
not
an expensive dryer. Yeah, you can have a great dryer for not much money at all.
That is amazing. A couple of years ago, I like went through a whole, this is way before the Sweet Home existed, I went through a whole thing of like researching hair dryers, and I ended up asking for one for Christmas. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, it was like an easy thing to like be like, Dad, here's what I would like for Christmas, you know.
Right.
So it was like, but it was like $100+. It was expensive, which is also part of the reason I asked for it for Christmas.
Right.
And I've loved it, but now I feel sort of cheated.
I mean, it's very hard to tell. Like, I don't know. It'll be a great guide, like the amount of information that you can get, that you can like amass about hair dryers that is just not on the boxes. All the boxes are just like ions, tourmaline.
Yeah, well, I don't know when
it's all meaningless.
Yeah.
So it'll be great.
I'm very excited to read that. So here's a request. I've made this to Casey before. So listen, we're in cahoots a little bit on this one. Casey agrees with me on this request, but she's having a hard time pushing it up the chain and getting consensus from the higher ups is this is worth doing. So if you think this is worth doing, please let us know so that we can build a bigger consensus for it.
Please.
Dry shampoo guide. That is what I want. I want dry shampoo guide and shower cap.
Shower cap.
Because if you're going to use dry shampoo, you have to use a shower cap. Because one, you don't want your hair to get wet at all. But also, like, even if you're a person who can like suds yourself in the shower and shave your legs and do all that stuff without getting your hair wet, there's still humidity and ambient moisture that gets in there. So the shower cap is like a very key part. I have a lot of thoughts about dry shampoo.
That's really quite.
They should just have me write the guide, actually. No, they shouldn't, because it's not my wheelhouse. That kind of testing is like not my jam. But I love that you guys do it. Anyway, there's my big request. Actually, I have a whole bunch of other requests, but that's probably for a whole other thing. We have still a lot to cover. So I want to talk about my five-step plan for purging and organizing a makeup collection. This is a done-in-an-hour kind of project. And actually, as far as organization projects go, I think this is actually a fun one, because it's fun to root around in your makeup. It's fun to play with your makeup. You probably have things that you've totally forgotten about that you'll be like, ooh, I want to... Probably an eyeshadow palette.
Yeah.
That you're like, oh, I want to bust that one back out and play with it. So here's my five-step, very easy, done in an hour, makeup purge and organizing system. And this is a good thing to do if you are finding it impossible to get your face put on in the morning because you're constantly rooting around trying to find your favorite mascara in a sea of, you know, unused MAC lipsticks, this is a good time for you to do this. It's also a good time to do it if you're listening to these expiration dates and going, oh my God, I have no idea how old my makeup is. Okay, so here we go. Step one, just like with a closet purge, take everything out. Take everything out. You are not going to be successful if you're just shuffling things through a drawer and trying to pull out things you know you don't want. No, not going to work. You have to take everything out. That's the way that your mind is going to be able to process the collection of things you have and make sense of it and figure out what to keep and when what to get rid of. Taking everything out should include two other really important things. The first is you should define the scope of the purge that you're doing. So if you're a real beauty gal, you may have a huge collection of makeup for your face. You may have a huge collection of nail varnish. You may have a huge collection of different brushes. You may have all kinds of lotions and potions. Probably not the best thing. It's probably not the best thing in the world to try to tackle all of that at once.
Right.
So define your scope, right? I think probably just sticking with the makeup that goes on your face and your brushes is a good scope to define. If you don't have a lot of stuff, however, you may want to take everything out and, you know, if you have like nail varnishes and two lipsticks, yeah, go ahead and just like look at everything all at once and that's fine. So if you do only have all that, I admire your restraint at Sephora.
It's incredible.
Because even I, who is not a makeup girl, have more than that. The other important thing to do, and everyone is going to laugh because it's going to be so familiar for all of us, I want you to make sure that you go into all of your bags and your desk drawer and your bedside table drawer and that cup of pens where you've got four lip glosses and one pencil. And I want you to root out everything that's lurking in there, because I know that if you were to look in your bag right now, all of you gals are going to find at least one lipstick in there. So add that to the collection. You should be looking through that. And probably the lipstick in your bag is gross and it might need to go.
Yeah.
So add that to your purge. The next thing you do, now that you've got everything out, you want to group it by type. So you're going to put all the mascaras together. You're going to put all your lipsticks together. You're going to put all of those beautiful and seductive eyeshadow palettes together. Are you guys noticing a theme? It's like I have a problem with eyeshadow palettes that I'm curbing. I'm curbing it. I'm working on it. It's very hard for me. This is sort of therapeutic for me to talk through my problems with eyeshadow palettes. They're enticing and I want them.
They're
all
so beautiful.
They're beautiful. But they're going to expire in no time before I can use them all up. Okay, so what grouping by type is going to do is it's going to show you a couple things. First of all, it's going to show you how many of everything you have. And if you have 10 eyeshadow palettes and you only ever really use one, you are going to have a come to Jesus moment with yourself over that. It's definitely for a lot of people going to be true of lipsticks. You're going to be like, why do I have 50 lipsticks?
Right.
I do not need 50 lipsticks in my life. I went through a phase where I couldn't stop buying colored mascaras, despite the fact that I have exceedingly dark lashes and cannot wear a colored mascara.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am also obsessed with that idea, but I did also eventually realize it just doesn't work for me.
You have pretty dark lashes too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know you're wearing mascara.
Yeah. But I do think that's like an important thing, like thinking about like if you are obsessed with buying makeup, but you like me buy way more makeup than you can wear, even if you're a normal person, but especially if you're somebody who like I work from home, I put on makeup very infrequently.
Yeah.
So it's like you can sort of stop yourself by saying you won't be able to use all of this stuff. Stop buying all of it.
Yeah. And it's hard. I mean,
it is really hard.
Call of this colored mascara still sings out to me, but
it's
resist.
Kind of like a KonMari thing though, that it's like you have to like make sure you're, when you buy something, it's going to be something that you can use a lot and use up.
Yeah.
Or be okay with throwing it out when 90% of it is still left. So,
well, I will say the green mascara did not spark joy, because it just didn't look green.
Yeah.
It just looked like nothing. It made me sad. It made me sad to throw it out too. Okay. So, you know, you're going to go through this. So, you know, remove duplicates. If you've got two of the same products and you can determine which one is older, you probably can determine which one is older. Throw out the older one. If you have things you're just not using, get rid of them. Unfortunately, unless things are unopened and unused, you can't donate your makeup. That really is just something that's going to end up in the landfill.
Really? They won't take it? I didn't know that.
Well,
I mean, I've never tried to do it, but I'm like, I have all of these eyeliner testers that I'm like, oh, I'll give it to Salvation Army or something.
Because you really put use them on your face,
but they are open.
Yeah, you put them on your eyes. It's a problem. Yeah.
Even if I'm like, I swear I didn't put these on my eyes, they'll be like,
I mean, I, you know, I don't know what like all the policies are, but yeah, but yeah, I have to assume that that's a no, no. I know it's really sad. Okay. Let's move on and not think about how sad that is. The waste factor is incredibly sad with makeup. Okay. So after you've grouped by type, you've sorted out, you've gotten rid of what you know you can get rid of, wipe off the tube, the outside of the tubes and containers in which things come. They get so dirty, and they get so dirty for the sort of obvious reason that they're in your hands, and your hands are dirty, unless you did what I told you and washed your hands before you put your makeup on. And then also just because, like, the makeup itself will get on the tubes, and so they're probably, like, smeared orange.
I always have, like, some black eyeliner will break, and it's all over all of my makeup.
Yeah, always, always. So, I mean, there's only so much you're going to be able to do about it. I find a paper towel and a little bit of all-purpose spray is the best process for cleaning things off. After you've done that, wash your brushes. I'm looking at the clock. We are definitely not going to have time to talk about washing brushes today, so we're going to have to save that. But the reason you want to do that sort of halfway through the process is it's going to give the brushes time to dry while you're doing all of the rest of the stuff that you have to do. If you can even bump that up to do that before you've sorted through all the makeup, even better, just more drying time. Then the next thing you're going to do, wash the places in which you've been storing all this. So there are so many configurations of how people store makeup. You might put it in a drawer. You might have drawer dividers within a drawer. You might have plastic containers that are set out. You might have glass containers. Whatever it is that you have, just clean those. Plastic, glass, all that kind of stuff. If you have a dishwasher, run it through the dishwasher. It is likely, if you are working with plastic, especially light color plastic, that the staining is going to remain. It's makeup stains on plastic, which is porous, are just going to get stubborn. If it's really bothering you, try a magic eraser. But definitely washing out the containers is a great idea. They get disgusting. They will be filled. You will be amazed at how gross they are. They're not only are they going to be stained, they're going to be bristles everywhere, which is really gross. There's probably going to be like some of your personal hair that's just floated around, which is really gross. There's going to be dust and debris and all kinds of stuff. So wash those. It'll make you feel better. It'll definitely make me feel better. And then the last thing is to put everything back. This is kind of the fun part, because this is where you get to organize everything and like make everything look pretty. Very important thing. The last step, step five, when you put everything back, is the point at which you should assess whether you need new storage containers. Do not do this before you have taken everything out, assessed your collection, gotten rid of what you don't need. If you go to the container store and you see a lipstick organizer and you think this is the greatest thing in the world and you buy it and you come home and it has 12 slots and you realize you have 13 lipsticks, well, you're going to feel very foolish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So always, this is true also of any organizing product, your closet, your garage, whatever. You always assess your stuff before you find storage solutions for your stuff, right? Okay, great. So this is very easy. So the five steps, this is painless, done in an hour. It's kind of fun. You're playing with all your makeup. You're probably going to unearth things that you're like, ooh, I'm going to wear that shade of lipstick on my next date.
Yeah.
And that'll feel really great. So much, much less agonizing than, you know, your shoes.
No, yeah.
You know?
Or, yeah.
You know, your fat clothes or whatever it is. Like, I'm in a weight loss spiral right now, so I'm dealing with the constant shedding of clothes.
And, oh, good for you.
Yeah, it is good, except, you know, it's like, there's going to be a lot of feelings around it.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to not talk about my feelings about weight loss. What we are going to talk about is Casey's question, which is an excellent one.
Oh, boy.
I was so glad you said this. And I like the way you said it. It made me laugh.
Are you going to read it word for
word? I'm going to read it word for word. Oh, God. So we were preparing for the show. We were emailing about the subject of the show and so on. Casey was like, well, I'm just going to read it. She said, please, please, please go over getting bronzer slash face makeup out of the collars of white shirts. This is killing me all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel you.
I am not a good city person because I have so many white things, like white dresses and shirts, and a lot of them have like high collars, and so I end up with
constantly like
orange. At least bronzer, if not more stuff on the collars.
Yeah.
And I can find a way out of it sometimes, but I do have a lot of stained shirts. So okay.
Yeah, all right. Well, I've got help is on the way here. Okay. So I have, I mean, I think anyone who wears any kind of like foundation, powder, anything mm-hmm. has this problem. The biggest culprit for me, and I hear this all the time from readers and listeners, is winter coats, right? Because mm-hmm. they're up right high on your neck. And for me, it's why I'm a puffy vest gal, right? Well, of course I am, you know, like fits the profile totally. So my puffy vest, the collars of my puffy vest are constantly orange.
Hmm.
It's so gross.
Wow.
It makes me so upset. Okay. So here's the quickie solution for us is so you're actually going to be mad when you hear this one. Makeup remover.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Caveat. I heard of Dodge's.
My mouth is open.
Yay! I love doing that to people. Okay. So the caveat is you want to be careful what makeup remover you're using. Don't use an oil-based one.
Okay.
Right, that's
is it okay if it's like the not oil-based ones that are like still like they look like oil, they just aren't oil?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, the thing, I would just say, like, you know, use your best judgment about what the material is that you're trying to clean off of. Silk, be careful. Mm-hmm. But yeah, makeup remover. And actually, even better than just like the straight stuff that you get in the bottle are those wipes, those makeup removing,
really?
Like the ones you use for travel that I think you're not supposed to use for some reason or another. I never found out why. But those are really great because they're super low moisture. So you're not going to get, like, if it is a silk shirt, like it's not going to soak the silk and cause a problem with silks. Disdain for water.
Huh.
So those things are super handy for that purpose. Great for wiping a collar off. But of course you can use, you know, just like a cotton ball and makeup remover.
Oh, this is amazing.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of amazing, right? And I'll say I learned this years ago from a reader. I think when I was writing for Jezebel.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, it's nice. It's like this like sort of like tree of knowledge, like,
yeah.
You know, people are sharing and then I get to share with a broader audience, and it's really like
this,
nice for me to give that tip.
This
another great
one.
Ready for this?
Yes.
It's gonna totally blow your mind. Okay, so this one is in my book, and I will say there's actually like quite a lot about all this kind of makeup. So there's like what I call the lady chapter in my book.
Okay.
So if this is of interest to people, and if you love me, please go buy my book. But yeah, there's a whole chapter. There's like a whole thing about cleaning makeup brushes and all kinds of beauty tools. Actually, the New York Times book review of my book, it was a man who reviewed it. And it was a great review. I got a like glowing review from the Times, which was insane and so exciting and flattering. But one of the things that he pulled, like, called out jokingly, but a little bit not, was that there's a section in there on how to clean a pumice stone. And apparently poor Dwight Garner of the New York Times was really just like, and now she has taken it too far. I don't know. I was just trying to be really thorough. So this little anecdote is in my book. A reader wrote to me about a success that she had had on her own. And I was so excited that I included the story in the book, which was that she had an off-white blazer that she had spent $1,000 on. And she apologized to me for buying a $1,000 off-white blazer. And I was like, do not apologize for that. That's great.
That sounds
good for
magnificent.
You. She got a very red, very greasy lipstick stain on it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, nightmare, right? This is like a total nightmare scenario. And she said she was so, like, freaked out and upset that she actually did the worst thing you can do in those situations, which is let it sit for a few days.
Mm.
And out of just, I was in stroke of genius. I don't even know what made her think to do this. She grabbed rubbing alcohol and a cotton ball. And rubbing alcohol and a cotton ball took off the entire greasy red lipstick stain from the $1,000 off-white blazer.
Wow.
Crazy.
Really?
Crazy. So that is another one that I would recommend for getting all kinds of makeup stains off.
Okay.
One last kind of makeup stain I want to talk about since we're on the subject of lipstick, which is a waxy pigment stain. So the thing about makeup is that the formula of the makeup is going to cause differences in how you remove the stains from them. So actually, like, powders and foundations and those stuff are sort of the ideal stains that you want. It's when you start talking about lipstick and mascara that you get into trickier territory, because there are more combination stains. Mm-hmm. In the case of the lipstick, you've got the wax. In the case of mascara, it's essentially akin to a grease stain. And the reason I mention mascara is that I actually hear from guys frequently that lady friends will leave behind mascara stains on their pillowcases. Yeah. And of course, this happens to women too, because we sleep on our own pillowcases. We don't always take our makeup off, even though we know we should. We don't. So here's what to do for those. You want to use the same kind of product that you would use when I tell you what to do about getting salad oil stains out of your clothes, and that's, you want to use Lestoil or Pine Sol. Both wow. of those are great. You just dab a tiny bit right onto the stain, let it sit. You know, it can sit for as long as you need until you do laundry. If you're doing laundry that day and you're dabbing it on, you know, just give it like 15 minutes or so to work its magic, and then laundry as usual, it should come right out.
Wow.
So yeah, so that's what you're going to do about your mascara.
Here I am attacking everything with a Tide pen, and it only sort of ever works. Never really works on makeup stuff.
Is it because they're older stains?
No.
Is it, like, newer stains?
Within like a couple days.
I wonder if it's also that you need to apply the Tide pen and then kind of agitate the solution into the fabric using your fingers.
Yeah.
I find that often works. Like, I talk about this all the time. Like, I always get sort of little, like, dribbles and spots on my duvet cover.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep a bottle of Shout spray near my bed, because it's near where my laundry hampers are. And I'll grab the Shout and spray a little bit and then rub the fabric against itself. And that's what coaxes the stain out. So I would just try agitating, you know, the Tide pen solution or whatever you have, by either rubbing it with your fingers or rubbing the fabric against itself, and see if that helps a little bit more. Definitely keep the makeup remover. Those makeup wipes, baby wipes, will also work. So if you are, you know, if you're a mom or a dad and you have them on hand, those adult bathroom wipes will also work. Those are great ones. Rubbing alcohol. And then for the real bad, greasy ones, try the Lestoil or Pine Sol. And on that note, we have to wrap up. Okay. So we didn't get time to talk about our brushes. So we will definitely have Casey come back to do that, and maybe talk about cleaning hair dryers and all that when the Sweet Home Guide to Hair Dryers comes out. I want to say a big, big thank you to my guest today, Casey Johnston of the Sweet Home.
Thank you for having me.
It was great to have you. And to our sponsor, Forever Cheese, today's music was provided by RecTech. Before I do my final sign out, I have to say the biggest of big thank yous to my engineer, Liz Smith. Liz is going to be leaving our HRN family. She's moving on to a big fancy job at Bloomberg, and we're so excited for her. But we're very sad for us that we're losing Liz, who has brought so much enthusiasm and kindness and professionalism to the work that I do here and the work that everybody else does here. She really brightens my morning every Wednesday when I walk into the studio and see her smiling face, and I will miss her greatly, but I am also very, very happy for her and want to say a huge congratulations on your new job, Liz. Thank you so much for everything. We will really, really miss you. If you like what you heard today, please consider subscribing on Acast or iTunes, leaving a rating, and telling your pals about this weird little cleaning show that you love so very much. And of course, thank you to you, my listeners, for joining me for another episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.